Hey, everybody. Welcome to day four of WrestleMania week. I'm your host, Ray Goots. We hate wrestling. With me, as always, is Andrew Lee. And we just finished probably the biggest night of WrestleMania week. You had NXT UK, NXT Stand Delivered Night 2, and then, of course, the crown jewel, Impact Wrestling, and its new move to Thursday nights. We're going to start with NXT.
It was so exhausting.
WrestleMania night one is not going to be as long as this.
Yeah, this was exhausting. This was a lot of wrestling.
Imagine if we covered like Bloodsport and all the other shit. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Well, thankfully we don't.
You know what? If you're getting paid for it, it makes sense. You know, like if you're getting paid for it,
I'm trying to get us paid for it. So.
Yeah. All right. So let's do UK.
All right.
All right, so it starts off with, this is a UK, NXT UK prelude, and it is about an hour show. First match is a Heritage Cup match. It is Tyler Bate coming out with Trent Seven versus Noam Dar coming out with Shaw Samuels. Tyler Bate gets a pinfall in round one, and then Noam Dar hits a knee bar submission for a pinfall in round five, and then there's some stupid ass shenanigans with their seconds, and then there's Tyler Bate hits his Tyler Driver 97 in round six for Tyler Bate to win, and he is, I guess, gonna be challenging a kid for the Heritage Cup. What'd you think? I know you hate these Heritage Cup matches, yeah, but this one wasn't as bad as the other ones.
I like Noam Dar and I like this Tyler Bate. You know, I've always thought he was the future. But I really can't. Even when it's like two guys I love, I can't get into the Heritage Cup. I'm thinking you could put like Walter and like someone else that's great in one of these matches, and I would just be like, no.
If you put Walter and like Adam Cole in a Heritage Cup match, you'd be like, no. Right.
Well, Adam Cole. Well, we'll talk about that later. But yeah. Walter versus Kenny Omega. Well, no, not even him. He's like, Walter
and Daniel Bryan.
Walter and Daniel Bryan Heritage Cup match. I'd be like, no.
I bet you that would actually be good.
Well, you might like it.
I've seen some Heritage Cup matches where it wasn't that bad, and I didn't think this one was that bad either. It was, it was okay.
By the way, Peacock, what a pain in the ass just to watch this fucking show.
Peacock is such a pain in the ass.
They would have it. Oh, it almost goes out of its way to not be user friendly.
Yeah.
And to make you not want to watch. Because like, so I put NXT UK on my watch list. 3 o'clock hits, nothing. 3:02 finally was uploaded. And then you have to go. It's not even on the WWE's main page. You have to go into NXT UK, go to the season, which I don't know, I guess this is season four, and then look for the latest. It was just so like, this is so much work. And even like when it highlights the icons, you don't even know which one is highlighted. It's like so fucking bad. So poorly designed.
So when I watched it after 3 o'clock, I watched it like 7 p.m. And they have those things now where you can go back 10 seconds or go forward 10 seconds.
Oh, they didn't have that before.
Yeah, they have it.
Added that today?
I guess they added it today because I used it for, I used it 2 times today, but they have it. So, but when I was watching NXT UK, there were ad points.
Yeah, NXT UK has ads.
Yeah. All right. So after that, they show Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster training because they're like, dude, we've just been losing. Ever since we lost the titles, we can't seem to get them back. So we're going to keep training. And then who were they training with? They were training with somebody.
I can't remember. We haven't covered the show in a few weeks. So I can't.
Yeah. So they were training with a female superstar. I forgot who it is. Sorry, guys. It's a long day. And then they show a Dragunov video package of him going crazy, which I don't like this at all. Yeah. I will say this. I do like that they do show people training in NXT UK. It's like the only show that does this. Mm-hmm. You know, that they show people training, like actually training. Remember when Jade Cargill was training and she was like shooting basketballs?
To train to fight Cody Rhodes.
She could throw some basketballs. What did you think about the training thing or Dragunov's fucking video of him going crazy? I think it's so stupid.
I don't mind the Dragunov going crazy because I feel like, I feel like all these guys, the basic, like what's even Adam Cole, like on the pre-show, he's like, I'm the best wrestler in the world. How many guys can have the character? And they can, what's your character? Well, I'm the best at what? Wrestling. Where? In the world. And it's like, but there's like five other guys that are the best. Yeah, but I'm the best. Well, so I just think like NXT UK is filled with a bunch of guys who are like, I'm the best wrestler in the world. Mm-hmm. So like, there needs to be a guy who's like, I'm just crazy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I just, you know what it is, I don't think he's believable in it. Mm-hmm. Like he to me, he's not believable.
You know what the problem is with all this, I'm the best wrestler in the world, is that like, you know why Shawn Michaels stood out in the 90s? He was the only one really saying that. Not even Bret Hart really said that. Like Bret Hart was like, I'm excellent.
Bret Hart said he's the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be.
He didn't say I'm the best wrestler in the world. He didn't just like say, like, you can interpret that as the best person, the best guy, the best whatever. But Shawn Michaels would be like, I am the best wrestler here. Nobody else, Hacksaw Jim Duggan didn't walk out like, I'm the best wrestler in the company. Like, nobody said that. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, you would, of course they think they're the best. But when they announce it all the time, it's like. Oh.
Yeah. They showed Jack Starr's training with Piper Niven. See, another group of people that train because they're trying to get better. And I like that. And Piper Niven's like, really like, yeah, like Jack, you can do it. And they show Jack just like, kind of like smiling at her, being like smitten. I love where this is going. They're doing this. I really feel like they're doing the thing where he's like falling in love with her.
I hope you're right. I have a weird feeling they're not.
But like, he was like smiling like at her at the end. Like growling at her. Yeah. I don't know. I wish if they did this, I think it would be a very, very interesting storyline, especially if they do it where like he starts getting feelings for her and then, but she likes somebody else and it makes him fucking snap.
Well, she's engaged in real life.
She is? Yeah. To a wrestler or
some guy, maybe it's a wrestler.
Normal guy. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter if she's engaged. You could still do a storyline.
Oh, I know. But I'm just like, maybe it could be like I'm engaged. And he'd be like,
yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. To show you a Devin video where he's talking to the camera going like, yo, I'm going to beat this Santos Escobar tonight and then I'm going to come back with the fight belt. And then we're going to go to match number two, Mako Satomura and Amelia McKenzie versus Isla Dawn and Kaylee Ray. McKenzie cradles Isla Dawn for the win. Afterwards, when Mako Satomura and McKenzie are celebrating, Eva Valkyrie comes out and she takes out one of her fucking feathers and she puts it on the ground or something like that. Oh, it's you, Mako, or something like that. This match, it was all right.
It was just okay.
It was just okay.
It kind of overhyped Mako, and then I don't know. They kind of overhyped her as like final boss, and they immediately had her lose. And I was like, well,
yeah, I don't know why they did that.
Yeah.
They like made her lose to Kaylee Ray right away. I didn't like that at all.
I just don't know why you would rush into that. Like, if you're telling me how great she is and how Sasha Banks was a wrestler and then she just loses. And it's like,
yeah. And if she's the final boss, what she should have done was actually beat Kaylee Ray.
You think they're mad at her because she's the last title. WCW person they got? They're like, WCW sucks.
Yeah.
Now I also realize why I changed Tyler Valkyrie's name. They can't have two Valkyries. So
that's probably why. Yeah, they have Eva Valkyrie. They can't have Taya Valkyrie.
Mm-hmm.
A Kid does a promo about how he is the best pure mat wrestler. Dude, just I swear,
you can't, and not everybody can say this shit.
Yeah, AK gets a problem. He goes, I'm the best pure mat wrestler in the company. I'm
so, like, who's the unpure mat wrestler? Is there a guy who like pees on you? And he's like, I'm unpure. but rat wrestling.
You know, in Ring of Honor, they have the Pure title, right?
I know, but like all this, and there's like, you know, like there's other guys, like what's the term, they strong style. So what, like when Randy Orton hits you with soft style, like what do you, you know what I mean? Like, come on, like isn't everyone doing strong style? They're supposed to be not. Yeah.
These wrestlers are so full of themselves.
Right? It'd be funny, Randy Orton was like, I'm soft style. I don't wanna, actually, I don't want to hurt you. I just want to. And your life. Well,
you know what Rocky Romero does? Sneaky style. He calls himself the Sneaky Style because he does these sneaky things. I like that. Rocky Romero's great.
That's good. At least that's different. And I'm the best pure. I'm the best. I remember we get Jim Ross used to say about Billy Gunn, the best. He's the best pound for pound athlete in the WWE. And I'd be like, man, he's losing. So what does that mean? Best pound for pound. So like oh well, it would have been Austin, but a couple of Austin's pounds are not that good of like, you know what I mean? Like, what does that mean? Like,
yeah. That'd be really funny if there's these wrestlers start cutting in NXT UK, they start like saying I'm the best, but they get really specific in each one. Like,
I'm the best at clotheslines from 90-degree angle wrestler.
I'm the best technical wrestler in this. I'm the best powerhouse wrestler.
Yeah. Well, Walter could say that about that.
Yeah. Amir Jordan, they show Amir Jordan coming in. He's looking for Kenny Williams. He's like, where's Kenny? He like, you see what he did to me, Sid, last week? And then we cut to Kenny Williams cutting his first heel promo. So he's a heel now. I really wasn't paying attention too much because I was watching three things at once. It was really hard for me to pay attention.
This whole stuff. I kind of think they should not have all these angles because they kind of hyped this up almost like it was a takeover. Mm-hmm. And I think they should have just had more matches instead of these. I don't think you should have I don't know. I just don't think you should have angles.
I think Prelude.
I kind of feel like they filmed this Walter match and they're like, wait a minute, let's make this a special episode the week of WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think Prelude, mm-hmm. yeah, was not as special as we thought it was gonna be.
I know, but they even like WWE made a graph where they're like, you have to watch it.
Yeah, I
think. And also, it was a Walter match. We don't get Walter matches a lot on this show.
No, we don't. We've actually gotten three since they come. Yeah, no, four.
But they've been back since September. That's not a lot. You know?
Yeah. Speaking of Walter, we get a Walter and Rampage video package, and we go to match number three. It is actually Rampage versus Walter. This is a different match than the match he had last night, where it's a little guy who's a guy who's smaller than him, you know, gets the advantage because Walter's injured. This is Rampage is one of the few people in NXT UK who can match Walter per size.
Yeah.
And it was basically power versus power. Like, he's throwing Walter, Walter's throwing him. We're talking like he's doing like Dr. Bombs on Walter and stuff like that. So it's power versus power. Ultimately, Walter hits him with a power bomb and then hits him with a top rope splash for the win. I liked it. I'm liking all these Walter
matches. I liked it. I just didn't like it as much as last night, but I liked it. I also kind of feel like that this scheduling a match so close to the match last night kind of gave away the finish of last night. Like, were they really just Walter have a regular match, but if he loses the basketball champion. So, but yeah, it was fine. But other than that, this was just a very average episode of NXT UK.
Yeah, it definitely was not as good as Walter versus Tabasco champion. Mm-hmm. But, and also, yeah, it was like, because it was so close, I was like, yeah, there's no way this guy Rampage is going to win. But mm-hmm. I still a great match. Still a good match. Okay, so that was NXT UK.
Now we're moving on to NXT Stand Deliver Night 2. I finally saw the pre-show tonight. And I guess I did like did you see the interview Samoa Joe did with Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole?
I knew he was doing the interviews because he did it last night.
Oh, too. He did it last night too. Okay.
Yeah, Samoa Joe's doing interviews. But so I was watching three shows at once. Mm-hmm. I was watching NXT UK, BTI before the Impact for Impact Wrestling, and this pre-show. Mm-hmm. And I had it so that like when something important came up in one of them, I would pause the NXT UK and watch that. It was just so when it was doing Samoa Joe interviews, I just saw it was an interview and I was like, I don't need to watch that. But
okay, they were pretty good. They should keep doing these for all the pre-shows, like even the pay-per-views.
Yeah, it makes it feel more like a sport.
It's a different side of the characters. Adam Cole had a good line, like, would you ever forgive? Would you ever see yourself back friends with Kyle O'Reilly? He's like, you know, if Kyle O'Reilly, it was a good answer. It was like something like, if he just accepted that he's my inferior and accepted the beating tonight and knew his place, we could be friends again. Like, I think he's a cool guy, but he doesn't know his place. I have to just kill him tonight. You know, it was a cool answer. It was like, it was almost like, yeah, I could be friends with this guy again. Cause usually in wrestling, it's like, no, I could never be friends with him again. You're like, they're best friends. Yeah. And then when they turn heel. So it was like, yeah, this guy just realizes he's my bitch. We could be friends.
Yeah. The pre-show was done by Sam Roberts and Jimmy Smith, who is a former MMA.
Mm-hmm. And we had one match in the pre-show.
Yeah, we had one match. It was, by the way, yeah, there was, the commentators were Vic Joseph and Mickey James, as it was last night as well. And the match is Breezango, who came out dressed as Pirates, versus Killian Dane and James Drake Maverick.
Jane Fonda.
Yeah. the winner of this tag team match, by the way, will get a future shot at a tag team titles.
They get to be squashed on Tuesday.
They basically get to be squashed by MSK. the winner of this match gets to take the first loss against MSK. Mm-hmm. Killian Dane power bombs Drake Maverick onto Fandango for the win. They gotta get rid of that Breezango. This
the way you said that was so funny.
Yeah, either get rid of him or make him stop doing this comedy bullshit.
That's all they see them as is comedy bullshit. I can't believe Fandango's been in this company this long. And this is all.
Yeah, he's been in the company for a very long time.
Yeah. I can't believe they were champions last year. You made Tyler Breeze a bitch on the main roster, and then you just run down here to make him even a bigger bitch. And it's like, so what's the point of you having this guy around?
Here's the thing. They're both still good wrestlers. Mm-hmm. Tyler Breeze was having some matches on 205. Last year.
Yeah, then they stopped using them on 205.
Yeah, what I would do is, so it's not that they're bad wrestlers, but what you could do is you can totally repackage these guys.
I know. Well, they're never good. You know, like, I'll never forget, I wasn't watching NXT, and then I got the network, and I put on my first takeover, and his entrance where he was using, like, the selfie cam, mm-hmm. you could see it on the screen, I thought, like, and the music, I was like, oh, this looks really cool. And then, like, they just fucking waste these guys. And
mm-hmm. He was definitely dope.
I'm wondering who on this show that killed themselves is going to wind up looking like an idiot on the main roster. I think it's going to be Adam Cole, but
yeah, I think so too. So possibly, too. Yeah. I don't see anything happening with that. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to go right into TakeOver, Stand and Deliver Night 2. The show begins with Poppy lip singing.
Some awful song. I don't know why they love her so much.
I don't know why they love her.
I don't know anyone that talks. I mean, you think Triple H wants to bang her or something? Maybe that's it. Sex
with you. I don't. Here's another thing. I don't think it's a real band.
No, it is a real band.
I've never heard of these guys outside of NXT.
They're the NXT band. The Triple H is.
Yeah. You know, they're like a real band the way that. Band that made that DX song is a real band.
Oh, the Chris Warren band? That guy's dead.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I've never heard of them outside of WWE.
Yeah.
They're not a real band. We go to our first match. It starts off with Santos Escobar versus Jordan Devlin in a ladder match for the Cruiserweight titles. There's this cool spot where they set up this really tall ladder in the ring, and Jordan Devlin hits a beautiful moonsault off of it. Very high moonsault. Of course, Legado del Fantasma comes out. There's some shenanigans, mm-hmm. but Santos Escobar sends them away. I was like, okay, sends them away. He's climbing the rope, like climbing the ladder, and fucking Devlin comes back out again. By the way, Santos Escobar, when he came out, he had some amazing lucha gear.
Yeah, that was a really cool. His entrance was awesome. Yeah.
His mask, yeah. Ultimately, they're both climbing the ladder, and then Santos headbutts Jordan. Jordan falls off the ladder, lands onto another ladder, breaks the other ladder. Mm-hmm. Santos takes down both titles, and he is now the undisputed cruiserweight title. He goes to the rampway. Rest of Legado del Fantasma comes out, and Negative Uno comes out.
Negative Dos.
Yeah, negative. It's his 9-year-old son, they say, mention, and he puts the fucking mask on him, just like, I think they did that on purpose. Yeah.
Yeah, they did that to fuck with.
They totally did that on purpose too. Yeah. I think they're kind of mocking Negative One.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still an interesting moment. Good match. Good opening match.
Yeah, this was really good. My one problem was I wish there was an interference because it kind of like I messed up the flow.
Yeah, I didn't like
because that. Because I feel like you're supposed to be happy that Santos Escobar won.
Mm-hmm.
Cause, like, he brought his kid and his tweet was like, we are all family. Like, weren't you a gang of mobsters? Now you're like all family. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So like, I feel like he was the good guy. He was the right guy to win though.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Devlin, besides having those allegations against him, great wrestler. I just don't see a lot of personality in him. And Santos Escobar is everything everybody thinks Andrade was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, he has 20 times the amount, like, his facial expressions, he has charisma. A lot of times when Andrade isn't feeling it, he would just, like, blankly walk to the ring and not, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
This match was good, but Night One's opening match was better.
Yeah, but this was still a good match.
Yeah, this is still a good match.
This might have been my favorite match on the show.
Of tonight. Yes.
Because we'll get into like my problems with some of the other matches. Mm-hmm.
So then we get MSK getting interviewed. And oh man, the old rascals came out of them.
I know, terrible. But they were actually funny this time.
I didn't think they were funny. I watched it and was like, don't ever put a microphone in front of these guys. It's terrible. Just make them wrestle. That's all you gotta do.
Yeah.
It's
funny how much better they are on the mic than Trey Miguel, though. It is funny.
Oh, that means
later on tonight, Trey Miguel came out.
Yes. Okay. Did I think they were terrible on the mic? Yes. But are they better than Trey Miguel? Absolutely.
Absolutely. We'll get into that later.
We're gonna go to match number 2. Shotzi Blackheart, Ember Moon versus Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell for the NXT Women's Tag Team titles. Remember Rhythm and Blues?
Yeah.
It was Greg the Hammer Valentine's and Honky Tonk Man. But it was really Honky Tonk Man's gimmick, and they were just like, Greg, can you just do his gimmick?
Yeah.
That's what Ember Moon is.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. She's just like, can you just do Shotzi? I mean, no sign you're gonna just do it. It's so unbelievable. There's a point in this match where the heel team, the way they're outside, and fucking Shotzi goes for a dive, like a tope. They don't catch her and she fucking hits hard. She somehow like gets a back up. I thought she was injured. It looked really bad. Ember Moon hits a double eclipse on both of them, and then Shotzi hits her back senton, top rope box, back senton on Indy Hartwell for Ember Moon and Shotzi to retain the tag team titles. It's all right match.
I didn't really, you know, it's so funny. I know you don't agree with me on this, but Indy Hartwell looks more and more like a star every day, but she's just not getting it in the ring.
Not gonna what?
She's not getting it in the ring. She looks great, but she's not getting it. I don't know.
There's something tonight missing. I thought she looked better tonight.
Oh, her, you mean, okay. In the ring or how she looks as a sexy woman?
She's looking more like a superstar.
Yes. She has the best look out of all four women, but like there's something missing, I think.
You know what it looks like? It looked like tonight, like she was like more confident than she was in the past.
Yeah.
She still needs some work. But
I follow on social media, and she's actually like a funny, like she makes fun of herself. Like she like shits on herself, which is interesting. A lot of people don't do that, which leads me to believe she knows that she needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
Because a lot of wrestlers would be like, you have no right to criticize me. I'm following my dream and put myself at risk.
Yeah. She definitely looked more confident. So I feel like she, you know, hopefully she just keeps getting better.
Hopefully. But this match was missing something. I couldn't get into it.
What was this match missing? I felt the same way. What was it missing?
It's just like, it's just the way doesn't really work. And that's the problem. Like, it just doesn't work. Indy Hartwell is looking better and better. I think she's leveling up being around these people, but like, I don't know. There's also something missing with Candice LeRae. Sometimes she's really great. Sometimes she just doesn't have it.
You know what it is for me? I don't believe her.
As a bad guy.
I don't believe this character yet.
No, well, yeah, that's the other problem, and which we're going to come into in the next match. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then they do, before we get into the next match, they showed Gable Stevenson sitting ringside with Stephanie McMahon and Kenyon Seaman. Those of you guys who do not know Gable Stevenson, he is an amateur wrestler, but he's like a really good amateur. He's like the NCAA champion from the University of Minnesota. If you know anything about that, Brock Lesnar.
Somebody posted photos of him, Brock Lesnar, posing with a young.
Oh, Brock Lesnar loves this guy. He's given him so many pointers, trained him and stuff. He's a lifelong wrestling fan, him and his brother, and they're both supposed to be coming over.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't announced a signing yet. And this is
I think this was like basically signed. Right?
Yeah. Well, no, this is the reason why. He's probably going to the Olympics this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So after the Olympics, he's probably going to come.
So he was with Stephanie, but both of those things were with Stephanie was for the company to indicate to us, we are going to do everything to make sure that these two are the next superstars.
Yeah.
So you better get fucking used to them. You know what I mean? Yeah. Both the girl last night and this guy were basically if everything goes right, if they don't fuck it up like Drew almost.
Yeah. If everything goes right, it's not like if he comes back from Japan with the new Japanese variant of COVID, then it's probably not going to happen. But you know, like.
Yeah, I created this in a lab. Yeah. But like, yeah. So, and especially if he has Brock Lesnar's backing.
Mm-hmm.
I expect a lot of big things from this kid. So
yeah. He wants. He's like already saying. He's already been tweeting like, "I'm gonna be the best superstar." I'm like, ugh, let's fucking slow those horses down a little.
He's gonna be the best pure athlete, pound for pound on the mat, a chain wrestling wrestler in the world.
All right, then we're gonna go into match number three. Bronson Reed versus Johnny Gargano for the North America title. Johnny Gargano comes out in like an Iron Man armor thing with a light up chest thing. Bronson Reed goes for a moonsault. He misses it. And that allows Johnny Gargano to hit two one final beat DDTs for him to retain a title in a... Man, I don't want to say it was a bad match, but it wasn't like...
It wasn't interesting.
It wasn't an interesting match.
Gargano should not be a heel. It looks retarded for Gargano to be beating up these giant fucking men. He should be a good guy and be trying to fight from underneath the big bad heel. You know, that's why, like, I think when in the 80s, you know, they always say... They always say WWE is the land of the giants, but, like, they really booked big guys terribly the last few years. Because when the big guy is a good guy, you can't have the bad guy be a little guy like Gargano and just being the shit out of the big guy. It looks horrible. And this match was like, he's not a good heel. And the more they do it, the more it's like, this guy used to steal the show. And now it's like, okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wasn't into it. But I also know it wasn't like a bad, just like, I'm just like not into it, you know?
Yeah. It wasn't bad, but I wasn't into it. And, honestly, they should have Bronson win. It just they need to turn Gargano back. Maybe they could do something with Walter, where Walter just beats the shit out of fucking Tabasco champion so much, Johnny Gargano goes to help him, and you can build towards Gargano and Walter. You know, and Gargano, they need to put him back as a good guy. They need to drop this way shit, They want to have Indy Hartwell and Austin Theory become good. That's fine. But they need to drop this shit right away.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Beth Phoenix has been doing great on commentary. She's doing this thing where Indy Hartwell is in love with Dexter Lumis, so she's giving them a celebrity name.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. That also.
Index. She's like, it's Index. And Wade's like, please don't ever say that again. She said it like two nights in a row. Dude, I can't say this enough.
What?
The commentary team has gotten so good without Mauro.
Oh, yeah, it really has.
Yeah.
Someone said, is it any coincidence that people stop watching the show and Mauro is screaming at his highest? Like, that's when AEW really started beating them. When Mauro just started going ballistic every episode.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big... Dude, I used to be, like, stressed. When we used to do the reviews early on in the pandemic, I would be really stressed out watching NXT. And, like, in a bad mood. And I'm like, why am I feeling like this? And because Raw would be 20 times worse, but I didn't feel like that. It's because this guy was just screaming, "Mamma mia!" And just like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like,
yeah, he was just an idiot.
Yeah.
Okay, before we go into the next match, they show Pete Dunne, Danny Burch, and Oney Lorcan sitting at ringside. And they're like, oh, Pete Dunne's really interested in who's going to win this next match. Mm-hmm. And you can see in Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan's eyes how badly they realized you could tell they really wanted to be on the show.
Yeah. And now they're just in the crowd.
They're probably watching the tag team match last night thinking like, that was our spot. Mm-hmm. Dude, you could see it in their eyes. They were just like, I felt so bad for those guys.
There's always next year.
Yeah. If you guys don't know, Danny Burch hurt his shoulder, his arm, like a couple of weeks before this happened. It's like just so close. It was like literally a couple of weeks ago. Go to match number 4. It's for the NXT title. Karrion Kross versus Finn Balor. Kross is dressed up like a gladiator.
Mm-hmm.
During the entrance, Scarlett does this weird crawling in the ring thing.
It
looks terrible.
They need to make her just a hot chick. They need to like make her the new Sable on the main roster. This stuff is just...
That's the one person that like came from Impact that they totally screwed up.
Well, I really thought Vince was good. I'm convinced Vince hasn't seen her yet, because how is he not in love with her and wants to give her all the belts?
Yeah. Is there anybody else? Well, I guess that's not true, because they screwed up EC3 and they screwed up Eric Young.
Well, they're screwing up LA Knight right now, so.
Yeah, they're screwing up Dan. That's like, so.
I don't think they're screwing up Scarlett, because you know her boyfriend's doing well. So
yeah,
they think true. That they're doing her, that they're killing it with her.
So this match is happening. Finn Balor has taking over most of the offense, but then near the end, Kross just hits him with a whole bunch of forms of back of the head over and over and over again. And then Finn Balor, the more he's getting hit, the more he's acting like he's out of it. And then ultimately, Kross hits him with one more forearm shot to the back of the head for the win. He is now the NXT champion. Under-delivered this match.
I thought that really, okay, here's the deal. I didn't think this match was the greatest. I thought it was the second best match in the show.
You know what? You're right. It was the second best match of the show.
Yeah, but my thing was, this was Karrion Kross's best match since he got signed. But I really don't think he is whatever they think he is. I think he's going to wind up being a goof on the main roster.
I think this was like an 18-minute match,
mm-hmm.
and like I don't think Karrion Kross should do long matches.
But I like the fact that he's actually wrestling. I really like the fact, because remember when they first got him, he was basically like the Fiend Part 2, where he would just not sell anything.
Yeah.
And now he's wrestling like a real person. I think they realize, like, you know, hey, the Fiend's matches will fucking stink because the guy doesn't sell shit anymore. So that's good. But like, there's something missing with him. People on Twitter are calling him like Tyson Tomko with a hot wife.
No, this guy's got intensity. Tomko had no like intention.
I know. I just think there's something. He's not connecting. He seems very generic. I like Scarlett. I feel like he's going to be the Mark. I still feel that he's going to wind up being Mark Mero to Scarlett's Sable. Like, Scarlett's going to be a huge star, and he's not going to go nowhere. I think once he gets to the main roster, they're not going to know. I don't know. It just, but I feel like he, you know what? I feel like he, I was hoping he would lose because I heard reports that Vince wants him on the main roster like for months now. Maybe it's all bullshit. Because I'm like, oh, if he loses, he'll go to the main roster. And then, like, he won't bother NXT anymore. But now we have to, he's going to be around going TikTok to everybody.
Yeah, because he is the champion.
Mm-hmm.
So Finn Balor loses. You think Finn Balor is showing up at WrestleMania?
No. I think he's going to stay in NXT.
Monday, the day after?
No, I think he's going to stay in NXT. I don't know. I think he's just going to stay in NXT.
Okay. I think he should come out. I think he's done in NXT.
I think so, too. I think, you know, you're paying this guy. You kind of brought him in. You kind of moved him over to kind of fight AEW. And I think he needs to be in the main roster. He should have been in the main roster when the pandemic hit and people like Roman Reigns and all those other people stopped coming to work because he was still coming to work, Finn Balor. There was no reason for him to be in NXT during the pandemic. He should have been on Raw or SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Especially Raw. Raw could have used him a year ago. And you're right, yeah, but I do think, though, they kind of like you're just going to keep him in NXT.
Yeah, I think bringing him back to the main roster will freshen things up a little bit. So.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. All right, before we get into the main event, they show another vignette of Frankie Monet. She is coming on Tuesday. She's going to debut. The dog thing is adorable. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Then Santos Escobar cuts a promo. He's good.
Yeah, man. He's what everybody in the internet thinks Andrade was. He's exactly. Mean.
His English is like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
And he mixes it up with the Spanish with the accent. It's great. It's great.
Yeah,
and
dude. He's what they're looking for. It wasn't Andrade or Hector Garza. It's this guy. This guy is what they're looking for.
And what his promo was about was like it made sense too. He was like, "I'm the actual like now undisputed cruiserweight champion."
I'm glad he won. I'm glad he won. And you know he never got me too like fucking Jordan Devlin.
Yeah, Devlin. Yeah, no, I agree.
Better cheer.
This is the right guy won. Yeah, they show Raquel Gonzalez, a new NXT Women's Champion, sitting at ringside. And we're going to go
smiling into too match. Much. I think they're going to do the Shawn Michaels Diesel thing with her and Dakota Kai.
That's possible.
Yeah. She's smiling way too much. She was smiling way too much. They don't have you smile unless they're turning you good.
Yes, true. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to match number 5. It is the final match. This is Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole, unsanctioned match. They do this. I mean, man, they've been building this thing. First off, there's this really good video package. That's filmed it's filmed cinematically. And they love this video package because I saw it like 5 times already.
Yeah.
They show it any chance they get. They do this whole thing like it's going to be some kind of brutal affair. So they have all these security guards. It's so over the top. So these guys start fighting. And they do this thing where they brought in a chain. And there was one really cool spot where they tied the chain to a rope. And Adam Cole had it, and then Kyle O'Reilly's bouncing off the ropes, and then Adam Cole like pulls the chain, and he fucking just clotheslines Kyle O'Reilly with chain. That part was really cool. They take they do a suplex on the announce table that doesn't break. Then you know they're doing all the hardcore stuff, and then it just starts falling apart for me.
Oh yeah,
I mean.
You know what this match felt like? It felt like a parody of like the big match WWE NXT style, where you hit like all these crazy moves and people just keep kicking out. It felt like a parody.
It felt like an indie hardcore
match. It was an indie hardcore or an indie match?
Like an independent hardcore
match. Okay, I thought you meant.
Where these guys are trying to emulate what they saw on WWE.
Yes, yeah.
And like, it's not picking up anywhere. You know, I'm just watching this match go. I'm like, all right, when's this going to pick up? They do the fucking table spot. It doesn't break. I think that's the whole point was like, oh, that didn't break. Because it always breaks. This one didn't break. Then they do this thing, which I fucking hate, is where, like, they've been battling now for, like, I don't know, 15 minutes. and they're all exhausted, but they set up these two chairs and they sit across each other and they start slapping each other.
Yeah,
no one will ever do this in a real fight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stop doing the spot, guys. It's not clever, it's not original, and it's just stupid.
How about when Adam Cole punched the ref and they got mad that he wasn't?
Yeah, then that comes afterwards. So then Adam Cole knocks the ref out, and then he goes for the cover, and the ref's knocked out because he fucking knocked him out. And then he goes, "Get up! Why are you down?" I was like, "What do you mean, why is he down?
You punched him, you fucking idiot."
Yeah. Then they do this thing where they go into the ramp, and then they fall through the ramp. And then, like, Adam Cole crawls out, and he makes a hole in the side to pull him out. This is just so all unnecessary stuff. It's just so... It looks so fake.
It was so overproduced.
Yes.
And
they do this. Yes.
Okay. No. Finish the match. Something like that.
So then, finish comes when Kyle O'Reilly wraps a chain around his knee and then does a knee drop on Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole's back of his head. Adam Cole hits the chair as well, and Kyle O'Reilly wins afterwards. Fucking, he's standing in the ramp, and the camera's behind him, and you see him like, oh shoot, I'm not supposed to look behind me. This is a stupid erasing his fist thing. This thing was like 45 minutes long. It was not good.
No, it was not good. It was actually, I think, the worst match of both shows, both takeovers, NXT Standalone Night
One. Number one, there was no bad shows on Night One.
No bad matches. All.
Yeah, no bad matches at Night One. Let me take a look at this Night Two. Was it better?
I think this was the worst match. This is the weird thing. It was a bad match. Okay, at certain points I thought I was watching a good match. Then I realized, oh no, this is just a bad match. It was like, here's what I've learned from this match, dude. I don't think Adam Cole is that good. I think Adam Cole is very overrated. And all his matches become indie fucking kickout fests where Adam Cole, they usually become Young Buck matches where Adam Cole will, like, you know, put you through a table, shoot you five times in the head, and like, you know, fucking future shock you on a chain, and then the guy kicks out at two. And it's always his matches in NXT that do this. They go super long. I guess they let him do this. I feel like he calls the shots with these matches over there, and he's kind of was exposed in this match because it was like, this is just too much. This is like boring. It's not good. It goes way too long. And you're basically like, you basically murdered Kyle O'Reilly seven times. And he's, and this is the thing. Kyle O'Reilly just stops selling and starts doing his moves. You know, like Kyle O'Reilly was selling that he was dead. And then he just woke up, and put the submission hold up. It's like, dude, like, it's not believable. It's not believable. Like Walter has believable matches. This guy doesn't. And
I can't argue with anything you said.
And it's like, I used to, and then here's the other thing I think that killed this fucking match is they got rid of Undisputed Era. This is the theme song to Adam Cole. Adam Cole now comes out, there's like some weird fucking, did you hear the music he came out to?
No. So here's what I did. I actually watched Impact first.
Mm. Oh yeah. Because.
Yeah. And then I watched this on replay, and I fast forwarded all the entrances, but I heard that they had new entrance music.
He has new entrance music, and I kind of feel like that killed the match because that song is so good and fits him so well. You got rid of it, he kind of loses. It'd be like if Shawn Michaels just walked out to like dun, 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 you know what I mean, just slowly walked to the ring instead of doing like all this shit. That kind of builds the match, and I kind of feel like once I'm like, oh, they got rid of that fucking song. And it's like, that's his song. That's who he is. Like, you can't get rid of that fucking song. So I don't know. It just was like, I think that right away hurt him. It made him, because he didn't do any of his poses. He didn't do anything. He just walked to the ring and then had a fucking shitty, long, boring match. And this was the match I was looking forward to the most both nights. I thought there's no way this match is going to be bad. And I'm going to say this. I don't put it on Kyle O'Reilly. I put it on Adam Cole. I think they let Adam Cole call the shots. He doesn't know how to put together a good match.
The match I was looking forward to the most was Santos versus Devlin in a ladder match, but
That was second.
Yeah.
I just thought like there's no way these two are going to not steal the show. And they bombed. It was bad. I put on Adam Cole.
I bet you there's going to be people who are going to say this was 8 stars.
No, people on the internet are pretty against it.
What? They are?
Yeah, they pretty much share the same. That's what I was seeing. That, like, they were like, it's too long and something was missing.
It was way too long and it felt super phony.
It didn't feel anything. Nothing about it felt real. It didn't feel like two guys actually trying to kill each other. Adam Cole also got way too much offensive. I mean, that's the other thing I thought while watching it. It's like, Kyle O'Reilly should be dead by now. Like, he literally was like murdering Kyle O'Reilly. And then Kyle O'Reilly would just get up and hit two moves and win. It was like, he doesn't know how to tell a story. He doesn't know if he... Adam Cole doesn't know how to tell a story. I'm sorry, he just doesn't.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think he...
He thinks.
You know what he does? It's like John Cena's matches. Where it's just like...
They're actually worse than John Cena's matches.
Yeah, because John Cena's matches are like, I hit your finisher, and then you hit my finisher, and then you hit your finisher, but then I hit my finisher, and then I hit my finisher again, but then you hit your finisher, and then I hit my finisher 3 times. And it's like, you know that match that he had with CM Punk that everybody fucking loves at Money in the Bank?
Mm-hmm.
All it is just hitting finisher after finisher after finisher.
Yeah, I hate that match. It was the atmosphere.
It's the atmosphere, but if
and also like the potential, because you thought he was going to go to Money. He's going to Ring of Honor with the belt.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Yeah. So all in all, I would say night one way better than
night two. Night two was a lot of it was not good.
I'll tell you what, it was a fucking classic compared to what we're about to talk about. So,
I'm sorry.
It was a fucking classic compared to Impact.
Oh, Impact. Let's get into Impact. So, by the way, I did watch. Here's something you need to know about Peacock. So, they do. You know how, like, when you're watching this on WWE Network, it's the replays available like almost as soon as it's over?
Yeah.
Not on Peacock. All right. So, I was watching Impact with Takeover on the side muted, so I kind of was aware of what was happening. And then right when Impact ended around 10 o'clock was when the last match started, right? So I just watched the last match, and then when it was over I tried to watch the replay. There was no replay at all, and they said replay coming soon, so I had to pirate the first match of Takeover. I have no idea, dude. I have no idea why.
I don't know what. There's so many like weird, shitty decisions that Peacock makes. I just don't understand. Yeah.
So then, 20, 30 minutes later was when the replay actually became available on Peacock. And when I was watching the replay, though, what is good is that it has the 10 second forward, 10 seconds backwards, and no advertisement. So,
do you think like they have someone at Peacock reviewing the show to make sure like no one said there's nothing objectionable? They can take it out of the replay. Like, so there's like some guy
at Peacock. I think so.
It's like, okay, so I hear my notes. You don't have to edit anything out, put it up. Or like, man, you know what? I don't like, you know, like, if, like just in case like Johnny Gargano screamed the N word. Not that he would, but let's say.
No, I think there was a weird edit in the Karrion Kross match.
Yeah, I think that maybe that might be it. So they like,
yeah.
Because when it's live, it's live. Maybe like, okay, if it's live, we can't catch it. But on the replay.
Yeah, if it's live, you can't catch it. If you get some time tomorrow, go to the replay and go to the part where Karrion Kross is like forearming Finn Balor in the back of the head while he's laying down. Start from there. Watch that part. Something like there's a weird cut.
Well, they did do weird cuts in that.
But oh,
it was like five or six cuts. Like it was really, why are they cutting so fast? So that was already there.
All right. Well, anyway, we're going to talk about Impact. I was watching this on Twitch. Let's talk about BTI first, actually. Before the Impact, Chris Harris is still there, which is cool, I thought. So James Storm, Sabin, and Chris Harris, you see him, you know, what do you call it, talking at BTI, and they even do a lockup where James Storm and freaking Chris Harris did a lockup. I thought that was really fun. They're all buddies though. And then Nevaeh also cut a heel promo. I don't know if you heard her heel promo.
Yeah, I heard it was horrible.
It was terrible.
It was terrible.
But luckily it wasn't long because Tennille Dashwood and Caleb like pop in. That's the thing that they're making her do, which I think I'm actually starting to enjoy. She's always like eavesdropping and she goes, "Hey, I just heard like you notice she keeps popping up. Like every time something happens, she's just like, "Hey, I couldn't help overhearing that you're just no longer friends with this person. And I was just right over here." Like she did it to a member, she did the Havoc, she did to the band. She's constantly doing it. I think I'm actually enjoying that part.
You said, "Hey, I just came up over here," but it sounds like you can't cut a promo.
Yeah. Then they showed Susan doing her pre-match dance, which I thought was funny too. I like Susan.
That was funny. You know what I thought would be funny? They're not going to do it, but I thought this would be funny because they can't. I don't think they can do it, but I would do it. If Io Shirai like doubts herself because she lost Raquel Colon, and then that Susan becomes like her manager. And like, I don't know. I think that'd be funny. Like to stick Susan with like someone who's like a deadly serious wrestler.
Yeah. So the match of BTI is actually Susan versus Jazz. Jazz has Susan up in like, I think in like an electric chair, and she drops her onto the steel steps, head face first, rolls her in, pins, Jazz wins. This is going to play into the show later on, which that's one thing I do like about BTI. Whatever they do in BTI, it like plays into what's going to happen in
Impact. Yeah, which is good. It's that is good. How many people are watching on Twitch, by the way, for this fucking divorce?
About 2,000. They never break. They never break 3,000. But there's two things. Number one, new night, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know there's going to be some idiots who are not going to remember this. New night. And number two, they're up against NXT TakeOver.
Night I know. Seven.
So.
It was shocking to me how nobody, like I was like, "Oh, I hope I don't get spoiled for Impact." I watched NXT first. It was shocking to me how nobody, and I mean no one, was tweeting about Impact, and they had Kenny Omega on. Yeah. It was like, wow, like nobody was even like, it was just fucking wild how Kenny Omega's wrestling. He's wrestling at Impact, and nobody gives a shit. Nobody gives a shit.
Those of you guys wondering, this is the first time he's wrestling on their weekly show. He wrestled the pay-per-view, but first time wrestling on the
week. They're giving away, and like
nobody cares.
Nobody cares. You would think if you said this to someone 2 years ago or a year ago, you went, "Oh, that's good competition for TakeOver." No, bro. People rather watch Tyson Tomko and Finn Balor than this fucking shit.
One of the things I think they did wrong was they shouldn't have, if they were going to do that, they shouldn't have him being a 3-on-3.
I know, but I bet you Tony Khan said it has to be like that.
Yeah. So those of you guys wondering, they average about 3,000 to 4,000, but they couldn't even reach 3,000 at all.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing though, that Impact does that I think every wrestling company should do is the start of the show. They have a previously on Impact. And they fucking do a quick summary.
Oh, AEW needs that really bad.
AEW really needs that.
Mm-hmm.
Every wrestling company would benefit from doing this. Please fucking do it. Do you remember in comic books in the 90s where there was no previously?
Yeah, when they added that, that helped me. That helped me. Even though I was buying every month, that helped me so much. Like, also easier to jump into new books. Yeah.
Do you know who started that?
Who?
Deadpool.
Oh, okay. But I thought you were going to give me an editor.
So. Yeah, no. Deadpool started doing that where he started having a previously page before every issue. And then Marvel realized every issue should have this. And it's been so good. Do you remember when DC was like, "We're not going to do it"? Fucking idiots.
I think they still, Marvel does it. I know because I looked at an issue of King in Black and Symbiote Spider-Man, and they had it. So I just wanted to see like what the issue was like, but I read the little blurb. DC still doesn't do it.
Yeah, DC still. So, do you remember like Dan Didio was the one who was like, "No, we're not doing it," and his reasoning was like, every issue should be like you can read it without knowing what happened previously. He was an idiot, dude. Guy was always an idiot. I'm glad he's gone, but I would think like when him being gone, they would put it in, but I guess they still have it.
Yeah.
You know, when I was interning at Marvel, I wrote two of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for Black Widow miniseries, but you get no credit.
Yeah,
I'm not. You get no credit for it, but I just know I wrote two of them. All right, we're just gonna go right into this. First match is 3-on-3. It is Tennille Dashwood, Alicia Edwards, Havoc versus Jordynne Grace, Rosemary, and Nevaeh. All these women are gonna be in the women's hardcore match in Hardcore Justice, which is on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, which sounds like a porno. Mm-hmm. Hardcore Justice. It's a terrible name.
Porno's that better.
So Nevaeh and Havoc, they go through a table off the apron. It's not a good looking bump. And Rosemary hits her red wedding finisher on Alicia Edwards for the win. Rosemary, though, I will say one thing. Alicia Edwards like jumps and she fucking catches her, right? And she fucking deadlifts her up to hit that finisher. Rosemary's stronger than she looks.
Yeah.
So,
I couldn't get into this match. I'm sorry.
No, I couldn't
get into it. There was something very off about this show. I couldn't get into a lot of matches. This match didn't click for me.
Yeah, but isn't that all Impact shows?
There's some show. Well, you know, I know, but we're reviewing it. And like, I would like to be invested in the match and just. You know, here's a funny thing. So, Matt, have you noticed Matt Stryker says this every week? He went, the women's division is heating up. And it's like, they had one match. What are you talking about heating up? Like, he always says that a tag division is heating up. Like, when they cut to him and that little thing with D'Lo Brown. By the way, I apologize for what I said about Josh Matthews and Madison. Like, these two are fucking the pits. They're just the fucking pits. Oh, God. It's so fucking bad.
No, I think Josh is still worse, but it's not like he's worse by a lot.
What is Mike Tenay doing? Can they just get? I would prefer Mike Tenay alone.
Dude, you know what they make me do? They make me realize how good and underappreciated Don West and Mike Tenay were.
Yeah.
Tenay
and Tassie.
Oh man, yeah, they're super underrated. Super underrated.
Dude, it also makes you realize how good Tony Schiavone and Excalibur are. Yeah, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Even Michael Cole. It's like,
People don't understand how good Michael Cole is. Mm-hmm. It's just that, like, when he's left on his own, he's pretty good. But when he's got someone in his ear and all that shit, you know.
You ever hear Michael Cole when he, there's DVDs where he does commentary with Mick Foley and he doesn't give a fuck. And ones where when he doesn't give a fuck, he knows, like, no one's going to hear this because I don't think. He's really good. He's funny too. Like, he just
That's what I'm saying. He's real. People don't understand.
And then when, like, it's something like NXT UK, when he knows Vince isn't going to listen to his commentary, he's fucking great.
Yeah, NXT UK, the first tournament, he was amazing. I was like, I can't believe this is the same guy.
Yeah,
he is. People really do not know how good he is.
Yeah.
It's just he knows that he's got to please one person.
And he just caters to him.
Yeah, he just caters.
When Vince is there, he just caters to Vince. But I gotta tell you, fucking Michael Cole catering to Vince. Actually, you know, Michael Cole and JBL alone are good. You know who would ruin Michael Cole and JBL is Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
What my point is that Stryker and D'Lo Brown make you realize how good everybody else is because they are just the pits.
You know what it is? Stryker and D'Lo Brown, they use way too many cliches and they repeat too many of the same things. And I think they oversell the product.
Yeah.
I think I think they know their product sucks. But they know they can't be honest. They have to sell it. So they oversell it. Yeah, they just go overboard with it because that's why it's always the same things they're always saying. But
hey, you know, Jordynne Grace lays a fart. The women's division's heating up.
There's no way they don't think their fucking show sucks, you know?
Have you noticed they haven't hired anybody? Have you noticed they didn't hire anyone this year? They haven't hired there hasn't been a single new wrestler.
Impact Wrestling?
Yeah. In 2020.
Maybe they might have gotten a freeze.
Yeah, I just think like that's kind of interesting because usually there'd be new faces to come in, and instead it's just like, this is what you have. Work with.
Remember those guys that we thought were coming in? None of them came in.
And then, yeah. Even that, the C-Stars. They haven't even used the C-Stars.
And then the C-Stars are on Dark. They're mm-hmm. both on Dark now.
Yeah.
Remember Ember Moon's husband?
Yeah, he's not around.
Not there.
Renee Michelle, Drake's wife, who looked gorgeous. Yeah,
no Killer Kelly. Renee Michelle was wrestling on Dark. They didn't sign Blake Christian. He's in WWE.
Yeah.
He signed nobody. I think what happened was they were not making any money as a company. And I think Anthem was like, until for the foreseeable time, you can't hire anybody.
Yeah, but then they shouldn't be having this many, I don't know. They shouldn't be having this many pay-per-views then. I don't know why they're, I mean, we'll watch it and make fun of it. But like,
I think they're trying to generate money. And I don't
think not with this crew.
You know who is hiring people, right? Mm-hmm. Ring of Honor. They're hiring a shitload of people. And they didn't make any money. And they're just like,
well, yeah, they got that corporation behind them.
Yeah, Sinclair. they got Sinclair, yeah. Okay, so Gia Miller is interviewing Matt Cardona. Actually, they hired Matt Cardona.
Yeah, that was a mistake, but
that was a mistake.
They're like, listen, no, he's got podcasts and stuff. It'll be great for us.
They're interviewing Matt Cardona, and Matt Cardona cuts a promo on Jake something because he's going to match with Jake something next. Typical, whatever. And then we get a vignette or video of somebody coming in a nightclub. It is Let's Get Wild. It's probably Taylor Wilde.
Taylor Wilde. Okay.
Yeah.
She'll be good. I know you don't.
Here's the problem, though. They're not hiring anybody like new.
Yeah. I know. I'm the only person excited for Taylor Wilde. I'm like literally probably the only person on the planet. It's like, oh yeah, more Taylor Wilde. I'm so happy. Like nobody gives a shit about Taylor.
I think you're right. I think you're the only person who's
dead. Yeah.
And here's another thing too. They don't need any more women.
Well, they need to get rid of Nevaeh and hire the C-Stars or Renee Michelle and Killer Kelly.
No, they have so many women in the women's division right now. They have so many.
And none of them are old.
So many of them are useless.
Yeah.
Susan has been, she's short in the back, dizzy because she took that face first shot into the steel steps. Deanna's checking in on her. Doctor comes and he like says something that triggers a moment where she starts like getting flashbacks of her being Susan. I hope they don't turn into Suyang because I love Susan.
They are turning her into Suyang.
I know. I hate it. So Matt Cardona versus Jake something in match number 2. I wasn't really paying attention. I couldn't get into it, but it didn't fucking matter because Brian Myers comes out, causes a DQ finish. Afterwards, he attacks both of them, and then he grabs the mic and he goes to Matt Cardona. I accept your challenge for a match at Rebellion. Like, that's so fucking far away.
And so while I'm watching this fucking match, Brian Myers tweets out a video, him and what's the guy's real name? Matt Cardona. Zach, whatever the fuck this guy's real name. And they made action figures and they're selling action figures in this parody video. They like made their own custom action figures. And I'm like, why would you tweet that the same night that like you two are having a feud on Impact? And also, why would Impact? I get that it's fake. Oh, it's just good. But like, dude, these guys have a podcast. These guys do everything together and they're constantly posting online. But I'm supposed to believe they hate each other on Impact. They're not even trying to sell the storyline on social media. That's how little these two give a fuck. Also, why the fuck are they pushing Brian Myers as like some sort of badass? It just makes no fucking sense. Mm-hmm. And then he says to Matt Cardona, you're going to get hit with a roster cut. I was just like, God, fucking kill this
guy. Oh my God, yeah. Dude, so bad. Impact has always been at their best when they had all these new young hungry guys that you couldn't see anywhere else.
Now they just have guys who can't go anywhere.
Yeah, that's always when they were at the worst. Remember when Impact was at its worst, when TNA was at its worst, was when they had all those like has-beens from WWE. You know, it's full of them, and they were all the ones getting the wins.
That was like 2009. Yeah,
and that's in. Dude, everybody in Impact and TNA would say that too. Like, I don't understand why, like, I don't know, like Booker T would come in and he's like beating AJ Styles now. Everyone, like, AJ Styles becoming a jobber. And like, that's what's happening. It's like you're getting all these guys who are,
but here's the worst
WB part. Has been, they just,
but here's the worst part. Booker T and Kurt Angle and Sting and Kevin Nash, yeah, there has been, but they were somebody. These guys are not even anybody.
Yeah, that's why it's even thing. Worse. That's
it's even, like, worse. Even worse. It's like Brian Myers, Eric Young, you know, fucking, you're getting guys who were like a big deal in TNA, but TNA wasn't even a big deal when they were a big deal. You know what I mean? It's like James Storm's bragging at 1,000 matches at Impact. Like, to me, it's like, you just wasted your life. You're not the Undertaker, bro. You wasted your fucking life.
like Booker T, Christian, Kurt Angle, the Dudley Boys, they're all like future Hall of Famers.
Well, I mean, some of them are already in the Hall of Fame, like Kurt Angle and the Dudley Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin Nash is in the Hall of Fame twice.
Yeah.
Booker T twice in the Hall of Fame.
But when I look at like Heath Slater, Matt Cardona, Brian Myers.
No, Heath Slater's not even on the fucking show anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, these are the people that are hiring him.
Heath Slater was the one they made look like a fucking idiot when he was like the only interesting guy they got.
Oh, man.
All right, we're almost there.
Yeah, Triple XL confronts Trey Miguel because they got a match. Trey Miguel, because they get like, oh, you got a tag team match. Trey Miguel starts cutting a promo on Triple XL. And I couldn't even tell you what he was saying. I just know it just didn't sound good.
It wasn't good.
Dude, he like doesn't have a big boy voice.
Trey Miguel?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's horrible.
Yeah. It just, he doesn't, like, he doesn't sound like a wrestler. It just sounded stupid. Speaking of stupid, Violent by Design doing a promo where he's like, Diener, you keep failing, so we're gonna leave you alone this time when you're in your match. We're not gonna interfere because you keep failing. You need to learn your punishment. I'm done with VBN. VBD, whatever they're
Violent by Design. Yeah, it's garbage. It's fucking garbage. I've been like that since December, dude. It's like, the world doesn't belong to you, it belongs to us. What's the other thing he always says?
Yeah.
Change the cleansing waters. Shut the fuck up. Dude, every time I listen to a podcast, like I heard it from Eric Bischoff, Vince Russo, I think Bubba Ray Dudley, you don't understand how talented Eric Young is. He could do anything. Then why is he like just repeating the same three lines over and over again? You know? The cleansing waters of change. The world belongs to me.
I think Eric Young's creative juices are done. I think something happens when you go to WWE and then you get let go.
I think Eric Young needs to get hit in the head in the storyline, and then he becomes Super Eric again. Remember when he was Super Eric? Just go back to being goofy. Just go back to being a goofy idiot. Like this, so I'm a badass. Fuck off. Just go away.
Yeah. You know he. What? He takes so much pride in his interviews, recent interviews, of that I went up to Vince McMahon and I told him, you failed as a leader. He takes so much pride in like mentioning that. Oh, I told Vince McMahon and you failed as a leader. I'm like, all right, yeah, man, all right, you got balls, huh?
I wanted to cut a promo on Raw. What would you say? The world doesn't belong to you, it belongs to us. What does that mean? I don't know. I just want to say it over and over again on Raw. Why can't I do that? You failed.
We're going to match number three. I
guarantee that's what Vince said. I'm giving. Why do we?
Yeah. Triple H.
Hold on. Wait. I'm going to keep going. Do you think sometimes, like, after Triple H goes to bat for some of these guys like EC3 and Eric Young and Brian Myers and shit like that, do you think like that down the road, like Vince is just in the office looking at it like you're a fucking idiot? Like you know, like when Eric Young said that, do you think Vince looked at Triple H like, why did you want to bring this guy in so fucking?
Yeah, dumb? I think so. I think I bet you he just kind of like stares at him and Triple H goes like, I'm sorry.
I bet you Triple H like, I've been watching this guy in TNA and he's so good, he's so versatile. I think he could be a difference maker here in the locker room. and I want to bring him in. All right, bring him in. You were right about AJ Styles. Thank you. And then like later on, I was like, you failed as a leader. I have two lines I want to say over and over again.
And then Gina just goes like,
Like, yeah, I guarantee you, like, most like 90% of the time, Vince is like, which is a fucking idiot. Like, when he meets some of these, you know, right?
And I bet you Triple H goes, I'm sorry, Dad.
He was good at TNA. Like,
he calls him Dad. He calls him Dad. I'm sorry, Dad.
I'm sorry, Dad. Well, EC3 was so funny. You know, bro.
He's such a tool. He calls him Dad. He's such a tool. He's such a tool, bro. Dad.
Yeah. He pushed for wanted, I think the first person
he pushed to be a McMahon so bad. Mm. Like,
you know what? I think Bruce Pritchard's brought in. I think Bruce Pritchard was brought in to basically take over. I think Bruce Pritchard's getting the company if something happens to Vince. I don't think it's going to be Triple H. I think Triple H is going to have NXT until the day he dies. I think Bruce is there to carry out Vince's wishes until the end of time. And then when Bruce dies, they'll have somebody else.
Probably. We'll see.
That's what because, dude, Bruce Pritchard now has more power than Triple H. The funniest thing is, if he didn't do this fucking podcast, I think Bruce Pritchard has more power than Triple H right now.
He does.
Yeah, he's which running, is fucking hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Because he was just this disgraced guy doing a podcast. And then I think Vince is like, oh, this guy will kiss my ass. He's like,
does he have more power than Stephanie? That's the real
question. Yeah, Stephanie doesn't have any power or creative anymore. She's just an executive.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm. Match number 3, Triple XL versus Trey Miguel and Sami Callihan. You get to see, these two guys don't like each other, but they're in a tag team match. Can they coexist, guys? Why are we doing these stupid-ass matches like that? Anyway, Trey Miguel, basically, he has this... He hits Larry D with this, like, leg bind, arm traps, submission move for the win. I don't care about... I don't like these matches where...
I don't know why every company does this. I mean, literally, NXT, Impact... The only company that didn't do this, like, was AEW. To their credit, but give them like a few weeks where the two people who don't like each other become a tag team. NXT just did it with Karrion Kross and Finn Balor. WWE did it with Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. And they also did it with Asuka and Rhea Ripley. And now it's Trey Miguel and Sami Callihan. The draw!
No, here's the thing though. I feel like AEW has done this too.
With who? I'm trying to, I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm trying to think too, but I feel like they've done this.
I don't think they've done it yet. They're going to do it. Now that we said it, they're going to do it. They'll do it next week. They'll have Lance Archer and Sting will probably do it. We got to be a tag team too. We got to coexist. Get the tag belts.
I'm drawing a blank because I'm so tired, but
they didn't do it. AEW did it.
I feel like they did it. I feel like they've done it.
They're going to do it. They're going to do it.
They show Swingers Palace and James Storms, Chris Sabin, and Chris Harris are there. And then Storm and Sabin are like, all right, we're going to go get ready for a match. And Chris Harris, here's some money. Can you just stay here and win us some beer money? And he's like, I don't like beer money. And they said, I forgot what they say after that. Something about America's Most Wanted or something like that.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about? They did the
I kind of remember. I remember when James Storm, but do you remember being the elite? James Storm said to them, let's go party. And I thought it would be funny if they went somewhere else and just watched NXT. Like the three of them, like, oh, I wish we were there.
Match number 4 started the second hour. We get Deaner versus Chris Sabin. Chris Sabin hits the cradle shock for the win. As soon as he wins, Eric Young is on the Tron and he shows that they're beating up Chris Harris in the back. And then Rhino attacks Chris Sabin while he's not looking. So it was a trap, and they beat up these three. This is going to be probably some kind of match.
Yeah, I like the fact that he, I did like the fact that they put Chris Sabin at this. I mean Chris Harris in this angle. That was cool. I like the Chris. This shows you how bad this roster is. When I'm like, oh, I like Chris Harris being back. It's like, yeah. Why do you like Chris Harris when he was there?
And he's not even wrestling anymore.
No, I just like seeing him. Like, oh, Chris Harris. This is great.
This was probably the best match. Chris Sabin versus Diener.
I couldn't get into it. Sorry.
Yeah, to me, this was probably the most interesting match they had. Then you have Ace Austin, Madman Fulton, and Josh Alexander, and TJP all arguing in the back. Tommy Dreamer pops up, and he goes, you guys are all in a match at Hardcore Justice. You guys all pick a partner or some shit like that. I'm like, all right.
Tommy Dreamer lives some shit like that.
And then, if that wasn't enough Tommy Dreamer for you, he's in the back, and Eric Young comes out, and he goes, I saw what you did. You can't be doing stuff like that. And he goes, shut up, why aren't you retired? And he goes, well, I never officially retired. I'm like, oh, dear God.
This fucking guy's never leaving, bro. This fucking guy's never leaving. He's going to be 75 having these stupid matches.
So Tommy Dreamer is going to have a 3-a match against Violent by Design. And he's going to pick two mystery partners. It's probably going to be like Blue Meanie. And
that's going to be James Storm and Chris Sabin.
Oh, you're right. I thought it was going to be some fucking two other.
I don't even know why they're trying to make it a mystery who's going to pick. Because it's like, well, that's who he's going to pick. I don't know why they keep giving Tommy Dreamer matches, bro. I don't know why. I don't know. I'm fine with him making matches and being in the back. But, like, again, the stench of failure is on Tommy Dreamer. That, in fact, that should be his nickname, the stench of failure. The American Dream, the stench of failure.
Oh, and I was wrong, actually. Then the best part of the show comes up. It is Jazz doing a video package on her whole career. Like, I thought this was really good. Where did she talk about
how she started? I'm surprised they had so many WWE pictures. That was cool.
Yeah, how she started, training from Junkyard Dog, going to ECW, Dawn Marie saying, do what you got to do, going to WWE, being the last WWF women's champion, being the first WWE women's champion. Good point she made. And now she's going to have her careers in the line against Deonna Purrazzo. And then Deonna Purrazzo cuts a promo on Jazz. It's all about how she respects Jazz, mm-hmm. but her time is done. Deonna Purrazzo's voice always sounds like she's on the verge of crying. And
oh, yeah, she realized she got fired from WWE. She's trapped here. Whatever.
By the way, did you know Jazz and Thunder Rosa have a training school together?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's crazy. If you didn't get enough Tommy Dreamer, it's okay, guys, because just.
By the way, Tony Khan didn't put an ad out this week, huh?
I just realized that. Yeah, he didn't put out an ad, and I was like, "Oh, thank God!" I think he got the message that.
Well, it's really like, also you can't promote Dynamite like this now. The days are fucked up, but.
Yeah, you're right.
Those things were getting horrible.
Yeah. Brian Myers is with Tommy Dreamer, and Tommy Dreamer goes, you and Matt Cardona, not Matt Cardona, who was the other guy? Jake something wants a match with you at Hardcore Justice. It's going to be a blind games match or something like that. And it's a blindfold hardcore match. Stupid as fuck.
Dude, this was so bad because even the way Tommy Dreamer said it and the Brian Myers like, this is fucking dumb, and him like being like, yeah, I know it's dumb, whatever. It was just like, then why are you asking me? You're asking your viewer to watch an additional 3 hours of wrestling before WrestleMania, and the way you're saying it's like, yeah, I know it's stupid, whatever. Dude, this was like, I just want to say to Impact, either become. Okay, my thing with Impact. Either become a complete parody, like become a complete parody of wrestling, just like a completely ridiculous company, or fucking start taking the show seriously. You know?
No in between.
Just everything goof, like the announcers like just shit, like I don't know why I'm here. D'Lo Brown, like, my career is gone. Like just go completely insane with it. Or like, because every night, or just don't, or take, make, I want, make me believe in this fucking company. Because this fucking halfway shit, and then you have, like, I'll get into it more, but I think this deal that they did with AEW, I think it killed both companies.
That's one way to look at it.
And I'll tell you why. Are we up to the main event now?
Yes, we're up to the main event. Okay. Match number 5, Willie Mack, Eddie Edwards, and Rich Swann versus Kenny Omega, and the Good Brothers. One thing I will say, this was the best I've ever seen Eddie Edwards look in a long, long time.
Eddie Edwards had something to prove.
Yeah, he had something to prove for once. Yeah. He wasn't phoning it in. Rich Swann hits the Phoenix Splash on Carl Anderson for the win. As I mentioned, it did not even peak 3,000 on Twitch.
Yeah. Here's what I'm gonna say.
Okay.
I gotta say this. I now realize, and I can confirm it, that all the hype about Kenny Omega that Dave Meltzer did was bullshit. All the hype. I was fooled into thinking this guy was a good wrestler, like everyone else. He's not. He's basically Eddie Edwards, just with a better... Basically, Dave Meltzer is his... I kind of feel like Don Callis is a parody of Dave Meltzer. Like how Dave Meltzer treats Kenny. Kenny Omega is not that good. He's not... He is good at moves. He's good in the ring, but he doesn't have the presence that that even a guy who could not talk on the mic, Chris Benoit, doesn't have his presence, or an Eddie Guerrero, or any of these other guys who are the best. He comes across as goofy, and being in that ring tonight was like, this guy is on the same level as Eddie Edwards and Rich Swann and Willie Mack. He's not above them. Like if John Cena walked in that ring, it'd be like, holy shit, you know what I mean? But this, he just doesn't have it, and we've been fed a bill of goods about him. And the moment I realized this guy's not a good wrestler, it was all bullshit, was I was about to call it Hardcore Justice, the barbed wire exploding match, is when I realized Kenny Omega's not very good. Because it's easy if you have Okada and you have all these other guys and you get an hour to fucking steal the show. That's real easy. All right. Mm-hmm. But a 10-minute match like this, you know what Eddie Edwards did? Eddie Edwards basically said, you're not better than me. And that didn't elevate Eddie Edwards. That made me realize Kenny Omega's a fucking loser. Like the worst things about AEW are the four main guys, Cody, the Young Bucks, and Kenny Omega. If you got rid of those four guys, I think the company would be in 20 times better shape.
I wouldn't say those are the worst people in AEW.
I think because the show's focus around them.
Oh.
And it's always going to, because they have a say, because Tony Khan kind of made them like almost like co-owners.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you don't need them anymore. You needed them in the beginning, you don't need them anymore. But Eddie Edwards stepping up like this just made me realize like Kenny Omega's Eddie Edwards. Like he's just saying, he's not John Cena or The Rock or Roman Reigns. He's fucking Eddie Edwards.
Yeah, but some people will say it took someone like Kenny Omega to bring this out of Eddie Edwards tonight.
Yeah, because Eddie Edwards was probably knows that me and people like me and you think he's nothing, he's garbage, and he is. This is my thing. He looked great, but he's basically, what do we say about him and Sammy Callahan? That like they're like the high school players who never left high school or something.
Cool, Sammy and Eddie Edwards.
Yeah, remember we were shitting on them in January at that pay per view. They never left their little town, right? The deal. So Kenny Omega comes to town, and Kenny Omega's like, "Oh, this is the guy who's like a huge star," and basically Eddie Edwards showed him up tonight.
You know what, Kenny Omega was the New York comic coming into
small town, and the small town comic has a better set. It's like you're not better than because you're from New York. Yeah, that's what it was. And
I've had that happen where I've come into a small town, billed as a New York comic, and this comic girl there just started shitting on me for no apparent reason. You know that? And then, like, she shit on me backstage, and then she shit on me during her set, openly, in front of everybody, right? And then I went, and I had to, like, address it right away. And I just want everybody fucking back on my side. It was just like, but yeah, that's
all basically. Right, well, you're better than Kenny Omega, so.
Yeah, yeah. No, but that's exactly what it is. It's a small town guy. I was like, you're not going to fucking show me up in my town. Yeah.
Yeah. Eddie Edwards is a small town guy. This deal with Impact, I think, has ruined Kenny Omega. I went in thinking that, oh, Kenny Omega's going to unify every company. He's a great, you know, when I was wrong, he's actually a pretty good wrestler. And all of this Impact shit did was confirm to me that this guy sucks, because I was starting to get fooled over the past year that he was actually the fucking best and no one's better than him. And I even believe that in January. And then once this stuff with Moxley and his floating ring happened and he's on Impact, he can barely cut promos. It's like, oh, this guy's just as bad as everybody else. He's not special.
Could be. You know what's not special? Mm. Impact Wrestling. Don't
watch. You're wearing a Baron Corbin shirt. I just realized that this whole time.
Yeah. Don't watch Impact Wrestling.
No, don't watch it. I so this was probably the longest day of wrestling I think we've had in a long time.
I gotta go to sleep.
Oh, you're tired. All right, guys, tomorrow night we'll be back with SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah, I,